are immediately ahead of us. The Bible speaks of unmatched tribulation, which will be greater than anything that has happened, or for that matter, that ever will. What will be taking place finds a little bit of a summary in the Word of God, and it's a prophetic description. I'd like to go over to Isaiah 24 and verse 6 to read about just how horrendous things will be after the time of great tribulation and the consummation, actually, of God's punishment to the earth. Isaiah 24 is an interesting chapter because it portrays God's dealing with the whole earth. And beginning in verse 1 of verse 24, "Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants." Let's drop down to verse 6. "Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate," or better, "found guilty," as some of the marginal renderings have it. "Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left." How many people are there on the earth today? Well, the projection for about 2023 is over 8 billion people. Few men will be left out of those 8 billion. And I'll have a little bit more to say about those numbers as punishment does unfold. Before we leave chapter 24, let's look over to verse 19 in this chapter. It says, "The earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly, the earth shall reel and to and fro as a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgressions shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again." Those are some powerful statements from God, talking about the end game to what will be his punishment on the earth. Revelation 9 and verse 15 is also a scripture for some more perspective on what it will soon be like. And I say that term soon because we will be finding, excuse me just a second, we will be finding fulfillment at a more, or at an increased rate as more and more news comes to us. But in Revelation 9, verse 13 to begin with, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." And I'm going to drop down to verse 15, actually. "So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind." If our population in just a few years is going to be 8 billion, do the math. Just from this one trumpet plague, we see what's going to happen to the earth. You know, we can't escape these things on our own, and this is the point of my sermonette. We're going to need some help. These outweigh anything we can do. How many bottles of water or rolls of toilet paper can we buy up in the stores to safeguard our own situation? How much gold and silver will be needed for us to deliver ourselves from what is coming? And, you know, the thought, and I've run into this in the church in times past, is I'll just buy me a And this was a statement by someone who had the wherewithal to do it, and he did do it. He bought a promontory in Oregon close to the coast, and he had figured out the wind drift, and he was figuring that in nuclear war he had a chance of survival. That's the wrong approach, brethren. That isn't what will save us. And as I've trying to make the point in the introduction, not many will escape. But the good news is some will. There will be those who will be protected by God. Luke 21, verse 36. A scripture, I suppose, of renown because we refer to it from many different facets to understand it and to apply it. Luke 21 and verse 36, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Here's how he's instructing us to be prepared for what is coming. And understand that in verse or chapter 21 and, for instance, Matthew 24, are chapters that talk about the end of the age, about the imminency of his return and what will be happening leading up to his return to his saints, to his disciples. He's saying, watch therefore and pray always. Two things here. Watch, pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things. That will absolutely come to pass, brethren, and to stand before the Son of Man. That is to be in the first resurrection, applying the time frame of this admonition. In this context, let's also go to Revelation 3, chapter 3 and verse 10. And I'm just highlighting here instructions, promises from God on our behalf, on the behalf of the church, of the saints, of the elect of God. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, to not give up, to quit, no, to keep on doing the job that the church has to do and to stay faithful to God. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. There is an absolute promise of protection. It's conditional. We're to continue doing these things. A little more is said about being faithful to God in verse 8 of this same chapter. Christ is saying to the church, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Well, that denying Christ's name can take place in many ways. But one more scripture to turn to. The reason I'm picking this topic is probably the same reason Mr. Link wrote the editorial that we'll comment on a little bit later about the generation that we're living in. 1 Thessalonians, a little bit of reading here on verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Look what he goes on to say. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape because they're not watching. They're not ready. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. What have we been as a church proclaiming, preaching, broadcasting, writing about? The day of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ, of being prepared for that. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We really do know don't we? That terrible times are ahead. How much we personalize that and take steps on our own behalf and the behalf of our brethren is really the critical issue. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And I'll stop in verse 7, I believe. Brethren, what can we do to escape? Well, over all these years, we, for those of us who have been in the church for a while, we've spoken about places of safety and being counted worthy. We've addressed this subject time and time again. We can't let down on that. We won't stop addressing it for sure. We'll preach about it. We'll write about it and warn as long as there possibility exists that people will hear and answer. I want to give you just maybe four general points to close up here with, to think about what we can do to escape specifically. Let's begin with this. Be part of God's elect, His church. And live, truly live as a Christian. But I want to add a note of caution here. Just being part of the church is not a guarantee unless you are engaged in the church in the way God expects us to be. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins, that half of them weren't ready and the other half were barely ready because they all slumbered, they all slept. Remember what Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans, the warning that he gave them to, which basically boils down to this: repent, you know, change, come back to me, because they were self-sufficient in their own, or self-satisfied, maybe is the better term. Another point, a second point, pray about God's protection. So I would bring this point, who of you? How many of you young people in here ever prayed about God's protection in the times ahead? And I'm talking about you spiritually young people too, all the adults in the room. But the young ones, it's something we are instructed to do even. Continue to watch and be ready and come out of this world. It's kind of comfortable when we're not suffering plagues, riots, and the things that are going on currently outside of maybe our neighborhoods. Continue that. And then finally, brethren, rely on God. Never, ever turn away from Him. If we are to please God, we must be faithful to Him. And if we please Him, we may be counted worthy to be among those who will indeed escape these terrible, unparalleled times that are not only coming, brethren, they're upon us.